The episode you're about to listen to is a special edition of The Startup Show, recorded during Grit Daily's live event at South by Southwest. Here we have an expansive range of topics and featured experts from various industries. Enjoy.
Welcome to the South by Southwest Lively Grit Daily House. I'm John Biggs. This is the Grit Daily podcast. We're going to be talking to two folks who are in healthcare, and it's Marguerite Pierce and Jade Kearney Dubay, co-founders of She Matters. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So tell us what She Matters is.
Well, She Matters is a digital platform designed to support Black women who experience postpartum comorbidities like postpartum mental illness and postpartum high blood pressure like eclampsia and HELLP syndrome. And we do that through technology and communication.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? I understand the postpartum depression. I understand the eclampsia and all that. What kind of technology are you guys using to solve that?
Well, we use two different types of technology. One, we have a culturally competent certification for healthcare providers, and we administer that through an LMS system. Doctors, nurses, anyone in a hospital or a medical school can take our training, and we are able to train thousands of people on how to better meet the needs of Black mothers, right, mm-hmm. at once. And then we have a symptom tracker that'll be available on Mother's Day that can save lives during postpartum. That's when the majority of mothers die. So the symptom tracker will help mothers identify those symptoms that go along with eclampsia and HELLP syndrome.
Okay, and that's been an ongoing problem, right? In terms of women of color who have essentially different needs during pregnancy and after pregnancy as well, to a degree. I guess what I'm trying to say is that a lot of the problems associated with post pregnancy weren't diagnosed properly for various reasons.
Yeah, I don't think we have different needs. It's just that our concerns mm-hmm. and our needs are not being listened to okay. appropriately from healthcare providers, right? Our concerns are dismissed very frequently. So things go underdiagnosed mm-hmm. or misdiagnosed. And that's what leads to the morbidity and the mortality rates that we're seeing currently.
And are things improving on that front?
No, they're actually getting okay. worse. Maternal mortality has grown 30% in the United States in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. So for Black women, it's grown about 40%. For Latinas, it's grown about 76%. And just in general, it's grown 30%.
Wow.
So things are getting worse.
Okay. What would you attribute that to?
Just exactly what Marguerite said. I think the biggest issue here is the miscommunication that happens between healthcare provider and Black mother, right? There's also something called maternal health deserts, where more and more maternity wards are closing all over the country. Some women, it takes them 2 hours to get to the hospital to deliver a baby. Well, if you are in that high risk bracket and you're 2 hours away and your blood pressure shoots up, how is your life going to be saved? I mean, every minute counts, right? And so I think the biggest issue here is miscommunication and a lack of education, not only for Black mothers around what their rights are, what they should be expecting from healthcare providers, but from healthcare providers in general. Most healthcare providers in the United States, most OBGYNs, they don't talk to Black women outside of the hospital. That's the reality. So there's an uncomfortability there. And how can you build empathy for people that you don't really know?
Yeah, I think to build on that is we have to look at the historical context, right? With mm-hmm. healthcare in general and its relationship to Black people or Black bodies, if you will. And if we look specifically at gynecology, the father of gynecology, J. Marion Sims, he experimented on Black enslaved women. That's the foundation mm-hmm. of that medical specialty. Right. So now you can understand that generation after generation, we have a mistrust for healthcare providers that you're not going to treat me equally as my white counterparts. And then also, I don't feel safe telling you everything that's going on with mm-hmm. me because I fear your judgment of me, mm-hmm. right? And I fear that you won't treat my symptoms appropriately, so I withhold information. And then that adds to your inability to diagnose my situation. And so it's like this chicken and the egg cycle that we're in, and we're trying to build trust between Black moms and the healthcare providers for both parties to feel more comfortable with each other so that we can get to the root of the problem and improve healthcare outcomes.
And that's why I think our certification is so important for all healthcare providers, right? Because we're talking about safety for everybody involved, safety for the doctor, safety for the mom. And sometimes you just have to start at the bottom and say, hey, this is the history. This is where we're at. And this is where we can go. We're the only platform that requires healthcare providers to once speak to a Black mother and then have an implementation plan before you are certified in Black maternal health and as culturally competent.
So you're basically going at both ends of the problem. You're working with the mothers on understanding the symptoms. So potentially they weren't told that there could be potential symptoms. And I'm sure all mothers go through this. The idea of the postpartum depression is insidious. And then you also deal with the doctors on that side as well.
Yeah, I think right now, if you look at different resources for Black mothers, especially, the heavy lifting is on the Black mom, right? But if you're a lawyer, you shouldn't have to become a doctor to get treated properly, right? And I think that's what happens to Black women. We Google, we research to make sure that we come out on the other end alive and our babies come out alive. But it is the responsibility of the doctor to make sure I'm okay. And we want to change that. We want to make sure that doctors are able to do what they need to do and mothers are able to do what they need to do. I have 4 children, right? All under 6 and under. I don't have the bandwidth to say, am I in trouble? Like, what's happening right now? Is my blood pressure too high? Those symptoms that I need help to be diagnosed have to come from a physician, right?
How do you, as a startup, or as business owners, how do you activate that group? How do you access that group and tell them what you have and how it can help them?
I would say a lot of folks come to us. We were very surprised. People hear us on podcasts. People hear what we're doing. And we get a lot of inbound inquiries. We also, just through social media, through LinkedIn, things like that, wherever we're advertised, people reach out to us. We do reach out to medical schools a lot, and they are very responsive. I think there is a new awareness and importance in building doctors in a different way, right? Because the problems are so massive around cultural competency. But I am happy to say so many folks reach out to us. It's surprising.
Yeah, and I think in terms of activating like the Black mom audience, it's very easy because there's such a void in the universe about a safe place to get information, to get resources that relate to them specifically, to be in a forum free of discrimination and free of racism and prejudicial language. We spent a lot of time during the pandemic doing customer discovery and really understanding what Black mothers need, and especially Black moms who suffer from postpartum depression and anxiety. And one of the overwhelming things that we learned from the group was, I don't have anywhere to discuss this because, one, we have a negative stigma of mental illness in the Black community. Mm-hmm. So now I don't feel safe. Not only do I not feel comfortable talking to my healthcare provider, I can't even talk to my best friend. So now I'm suffering in silence. So we wanted to break down that wall. So during the pandemic, when everyone is locked down and everybody's on Zoom, we were able to talk to just hundreds of Black moms. And, you know, once we said we had a platform, they came in droves. And we had a lot of informational sessions about, here are the symptoms associated with postpartum mental illness. And we had moms that were on those calls that were our mother's age or our grandparents' age being able to, the light bulb went off. And they say, oh, this is what I was experiencing 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
What are some best practices for building this kind of business? It sounds like there's a lot of customer interaction. There's a lot of there's the need for outreach, and a lot of startup folks are kind of afraid to leave the room, right? They're afraid to do that kind of stuff. It doesn't seem like you guys are, but what would you recommend for folks who are trying to build?
You're nothing without your audience. Mm-hmm. You have to know your customer. Knowing your customer is the foundation of everything. I went to NYU. I'm a Steinhardt graduate. Shout out to NYU. Mm-hmm. We did an accelerator program at NYU, and we learned that there with Frank's team there. And it's helped us. We've been light years ahead of people just because we know mm-hmm. what our customer is looking for. And I think that if you're doing this work, one, you really have to feel it because it's hard every single day. So you need to have the personal connection to it, or it'll just be too much, right? Mm-hmm. But then you need to know who you serve and why and what they want. Because someone told me a long time ago, you have to fall in love with how to solve the problem, not your own way of doing it. So we've been very flexible in how we choose to engage with both communities, right? And we know that no one wants to feel like they're doing something wrong. The goodness of people, the foundation of people, you don't want to think that you're doing wrong. So we have to connect with people where they are, and you can only do that by customer discovery.
Yeah, one of the resources that we utilize in that accelerator is a book called Talking to Humans.
Yeah.
And it's all about getting in front of your customer and finding them where they are in the wild, yeah. right? Not creating some, sales, situation or scenario, but meeting them at the grocery store. If like your archetype of a customer is going to Whole Foods, you meet them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you guys just like walk up to pregnant women on the street and
We did everything through social media.
Okay.
Black women, I think, are on their phone 30% more than other groups of women. So it was really easy to engage with Black women there.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of raising, did you guys raise cash for the business?
Or? We did. We've raised about $3.4 million to date.
How was that process?
Terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to raise as Black women. Everyone tells you the statistics that are against you from when you start. You know, Black women only get 0.6%. And it's like, thank you. You know, like, what do you do with that? And mm-hmm. so it is one that is of mental anguish. It's hard for anybody. You realize, oh, my God, what am I doing with my life? Why am I here? What is there's a lot of racism. There's a lot of sexism. You find out really quick that the Bros Club, that the Silicon Valley Club, is a real thing. And people don't want you there. People don't want us here. Like, I feel like I became one of 96 Black CEOs to raise over $1 million+, and then like one of
16
to raise over $3 million. Right. But that process in that space.
That this year or
to date?
Yeah. Okay. It's terrible. It's a terrible statistic. Horrible. And anybody can check that. If it's not one of 20, it's a 16, it's like one of 25. And it's weird because you get popularity because people are like, how did you do it? And then the other side is like, you won't be able to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's constantly a battle, right? Of making sure that one, we are creating impact because that's the whole point of what we do. Impact and awareness, right? And two, I'm not fearful because a lot of times I used to be scared when I talked to venture capitalists because I didn't understand because we're first generation tech founders. Mm-hmm. Any Black person doing this right now, we're first generation. So we don't have a foundation. Our grandparents who had businesses bootstrapped because they couldn't get loans, because they couldn't get money. So it's hard to be the first. And like, shout out to anybody who's trying to do this, who's trying to get the money. You can get the money, but it's hard.
Is there any advice that you can give to folks who are trying to raise?
Be yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you fake it, you'll be upset with yourself later because you still didn't get the yes. Mm-hmm. So just be genuinely you from the beginning. I do not make excuses for who I am any day of the week. So be yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. And don't be distracted from rejection. Like, you're going to be told
you're going to be rejected all day
1,001 times. Mm-hmm. Do not let that deter you. Do not let that stop you. Persevere and keep going.
What happens in 20 years if you guys are successful?
80% of hospitals are certified as culturally competent. We've moved on from just Black women to Latinas, to LGBTQ plus trans community, to Indigenous women, to disenfranchised women in general. We've started talking about disenfranchised parents. We start talking about things like beyond pregnancy, diabetes. Like, mm-hmm. It gets big. And everyone wants to be certified as culturally competent because those data points are moving up. They see the ROI there. We're everywhere. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, guys. This has been fascinating. Where can folks find out more about what you're working on?
You can see us at www.shematters.health. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find us on Instagram at shematters.io.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Lively Grit Daily House at South by Southwest 2024. I'm John Biggs. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.